Hello, and welcome to the Episcopal Herald podcast during the 79th General Convention. The Episcopal Herald is an online magazine focused on envisioning the best possible future of the Episcopal Church and starting the conversations we hope will get us there. My name is Maria Bautista Vargas, and today I am joined by La Reverenda Altagracia Perez Bullard, canon for Congregational Vitality in the Diocese of New York. Welcome!
Thank you.
So I know that, you know, the convention has barely just started, and there's a lot of energy, I think, in many areas, right? But I think following, especially the Book of Common Prayer and the revisions and that, I was very interested in knowing, you know, how important do you think it is this about the inclusive and expansive language and the revision, especially for the Latino community to be involved in that conversation?
Yeah, I do. I definitely think it's critical because I do feel that as a communion, you know, we believe as we pray. Mm-hmm. And since that is our tradition, it's important that the prayers reflect all the things that we've learned about evangelism, about people of color, about women, about gender folk, just everything that helps people feel like, oh, they really mean it when they say that you're welcome.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, writing the new prayers and liturgies that reflect our life, our common life, are important. I have mixed feelings about the thought of worrying too much about a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel comfortable with the idea of authorizing services that reflect the language that reflects us, that it looks like we're at prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, you know, given all of the technology and all of the various ways that we can distribute things,
mm-hmm.
I hope we don't get too stuck on the cost of a book.
Right. Yes.
So I'm a little bit concerned about that.
Yes.
But definitely that the church has grown and changed just as the nation has and all of our various dioceses here and throughout Latin America and in the Caribbean. It would be wonderful to have prayers that reflect our language, our cultures, our traditions, so that when people walk in, they feel like, oh, I can pray these words because these words include my experience.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. What other conversations are you really hoping to hear from, you know, this general convention within these 2 weeks that you think are essential for the future of the church?
So some of it has to do with being the canon for Congregational Vitality.
Right.
But I was involved in the Evangelism Matters Conference.
Yes.
And so I'm an evangelism catalyst.
Yes.
And I'm excited about all the ways that we are trying to help people learn how to share their stories of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some people feel like, oh, that sounds so hokey, or that Jesus movement, whatever. I think the point really is, how are you experiencing God in your everyday life?
Yes.
And how can you share that with other people? And we just, you know, lots of people just don't know how to do that. You're not born knowing how to do that.
Right.
So I'm excited about all the different materials that have come out, all the resolutions that are encouraging that kind of movement and education and formation in our congregations. Because I think it's critical. I think the Episcopal Church especially has the good news of the gospel to share in language that people feel affirmed and they feel included and they feel like we care about justice, things that people out there sometimes wonder whether Christians are worrying about it. So I think it's especially important that we get out there, you know, that we stop waiting for people to show up at our churches and that we show up in the world and talk about our own experience of God in Christ through the power of the Spirit so that people can get to know what that's about. So I'm excited about that. I think a lot of the things that, you know, the fact that we're going to have a vigil at the detention center is so wonderful because I've not been able to go in my local in New York. And so it's exciting to be able to bear witness with people who are in a really unnecessarily unjust situation. I think that, yes, people in this nation are afraid of the change because change is happening so fast all around us. But the response is not to attack people that are different from you.
Right.
And so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward, as always, to wonderful worship that reflects all the diversity of the church, the testimonies that will be shared of the Me Too movement in the church, which is important because I think if we can model for the world what repentance and reconciliation looks like, I think it makes it clear that these are human problems.
Right.
And it's not that, oh, those people over there are evil.
Right.
It's like all of us have to own our you know, complicity in racism and sexism and violence, all those things that are part of our culture. And I think we can model how that's done. So I'm excited about that as well. And I understand that there are some of the young people that have been working against gun violence are coming to bear witness. So I just think it's exciting to leave motivated, but also to take ideas of how we can do this in our own congregations and in our own diocese.
I'm excited about all those as well, especially Sunday. It's going to be a fun packed day. And I think, like you said, just
it's
witnessing
that.
Yes, yes. But also you mentioned the Me Too movement. And I have two questions about that. How do you think the church can be encouraging women leadership within the national church?
I think, you know, I personally think that it's really important to do it at every level at once. Mm-hmm. So like it's not... because we're a hierarchical church, I feel like sometimes we have a lot of emphasis on women bishops and women priests, which is definitely necessary, because I think we've been socialized and our experiences bring a new and fresh take on leadership that I think is important for the church. But I think that the way to do it is to raise up young girls to be leaders in our churches. Because the saddest thing is to raise up leaders and then our congregations are not ready to welcome them. Because especially I know in a lot of Latinx congregations, they don't have the experience of women in leadership. And so even if a woman priest were called, they have all kinds of conflicts over it because they're not accustomed. So I just think that we need to raise up leaders at every level and have people, when they look for who leads us in the church, they recognize that it is male and female, that it is, you know, brown and black and white, that it is, you know, gay and straight and transgendered, that it looks like the human fabric, you know? But I think you got to start at the congregational level, like forming people to have those scary conversations that say, but I was raised and it was always a male, so that they can name it. And then together we can have the conversation that helps them to have some movement around it. Because just raising up leaders and people are like, oh, that's good for that church over there. Not my church.
Here,
yeah, they don't work here. We run them over there. So I do think it has to happen at every level, because especially for congregations. To be able to recognize the leaders in their midst. Mm-hmm. Because how do you discern if you're called to be a deacon or if God is moving you to leadership, you know, lay professional leadership in the church, if nobody recognizes your gifts? Right. It has to be at the congregational level as well.
Yes, I agree. And to piggyback off that, how can we be creating safe space for all people in ministry?
Yeah, that's hard, because I feel like I always struggle with the word safe space, because I don't know. I think we can try to neutralize spaces and create like boundaries and name our norms and our expectations for respecting each other. Mm-hmm. But I think declaring a space safe is a little bit of false advertising, because you never know. Like either everybody feels comfortable sharing where they're coming from or not.
Right.
And if somebody shares where they're coming from and it triggers for you a bad memory or a bad experience, what needs to be named, I think, is just that all of us come with different experiences and that all of us are wounded. Mm-hmm. And that we need to share with each other those vulnerable places, always careful, you know, tenderly and with, you know, con cariño, with that loving embrace that allows people to feel like, because it's one thing to say, oh, it's a safe space for you to talk about, you know, having been sexually harassed. But how about the guy that's the bigot, right, or the guy that's a sexist, right, and he or she, you know, says something and then they don't feel like it's safe, right?
Right.
So I feel like the gospel calls us to dangerous places. Mm-hmm. And what we can do, though, is model a compassionate hearing and a compassionate voice for with each other. Mm-hmm. So that knowing that we're wounded, knowing that we're vulnerable, knowing that there's very few people in the world that have not been hurt, mm-hmm, by the effects of sin on humanity, mm-hmm, that we'd be gentle with each other while we're having these very difficult conversations. Yeah.
Thank you. And how are you experiment? How are you liking this Houston, Texas, Austin weather?
Oh, so I'm just the weather. I'm looking forward to exploring Austin because it's one of those Texas cities that everybody talks about as being so awesome. I love music, so I gotta go hear some live music. Yes. I love barbecue. I had some last night. I love
Texas night.
Yeah, I gotta go check out these bats that come flying out. Yes. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to exploring Austin. Yes, I know. I gotta walk every day to work off the barbecue. Yeah.
But thank you so much. Thank you. And you will be representing the Black Ministry.
Yes, I'm volunteering for the Office of Black Ministries. Yeah. And Ron Bird is the new missioner for that office. And we're just trying to get out, you know, that we're focusing on leadership development, on creating some collaborative teams in all of our congregations, and how do we offer training for that, so that starting at the congregational level, we're raising up leaders. It's hard when you always go to a conference and then you come back and you can't remember. But having things on a regional and local level so that people can share best practices and learn some skills. I'm excited about the work I'm doing with Father Ron, and I'm excited to be here, you know, helping that office
out. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yay.